Friday night, the speaker came out, and the first thing he said was, "I hope you have a good sleep tonight. I want you to have a good sleep tonight." And he read this parable out of Mark 4, 26 to 28. He also said, "This is what the kingdom of God is like. A man scatters seed on the ground night and day, whether he sleeps or gets up, the seed sprouts and grows, though he does not know how. All by itself, the soil produces grain, first the stalk, then the head, then the full kernel in the head. As soon as the grain is ripe, he puts the sickle to it because the harvest has come." And he asked the question, what did the farmer do? So what did the farmer do? He sowed the seed, and then he waited. He slept. His point was that it's really easy as leaders to think we need to do the work of producing the fruit. And the farmer sowed the seed, and sometimes you see the crop grow and sometimes you don't. And all by itself, the soil, it says, produces the seed or produces the growth, right? And so that was kind of encouragement to a lot of people out there, I think, who pastors tend to maybe carry the weight of the world on their shoulders. And maybe you never did. I did. So anyways, that was really good. That was very much a blessing Friday night. So something has been brewing in the background in my life for about 3 or 4 years that we're going to try this morning. And some of what I want to say and how I want to do it is from the weekend. And that part is fun for me. We'll see how much fun it is by the end. I am by nature a bit of an adventurer. When you go through the whole personality thing, that's what I showed up as. So this is me adventuring and taking you along on a journey. This is in the inspiration of wanting to make disciples. Three influences here, what I want to do today. Wanting to make disciples, and be disciples ourselves. It is in the influence of who we are as a body and how we're growing and how I've gotten to know lots of you through the years. And it is in the influence of Stuart McLean in the Vinyl Cafe. And this is the terrifying part. When we went through the gifts thing, mine showed up as leadership and teaching. And it's funny because I began to take that a little bit more seriously because I felt like I'm just a jack of all trades, right? And so this is me teaching, I hope, to some degree in the style that Jesus taught. Because Jesus taught by telling stories. Not always parables and stories, but often, right? And he'd tell a parable and it would have a point. So I'm hoping there's some humor to this. If you know Stuart McLean, we'll see. I invite gentle feedback. Again, we'll see how I feel at the end of this. But, I need a disclaimer. So there's some characters. And okay, this is the first, the inaugural. Hopefully there's more. We'll see how the feedback I get. The inaugural story of the Blessed Creek Christian Fellowship Church. Blessed Creek. Blessed is so much better. If you see yourself in these characters, my disclaimer is I was trying to develop characters, and then I went, oh, they're going to think that's them. Oh. So it's not intentional. I'm sorry. I would actually love for something like this, and maybe better storytellers than me someday, to take this beyond. Because I think our small church and what God has been teaching us and the lessons that we could communicate this way are actually quite significant and need to be communicated or could be communicated. It was a Sunday morning in fall when Betty Halberstad and her husband Leo were on their way to church. It wasn't a bad morning. Mostly they got into the car without a fight. The hair was mostly combed and the teeth were brushed, she thought. As they headed to church, to the Blessed Creek Christian Fellowship Church, there were some thoughts going on in Betty's mind. And she was considering this church they'd been a part of for about 5 years, had gotten to know the people, gotten to love the people. Get to church, and they pull into the church parking lot. And she's reminded of a trip she had made to see a friend, Mary. Mary, who had long attended the Lookout Point Baptist Community Church some distance away. She had gone there the previous Sunday to go to church, see her friend, and fellowship together. Recalls driving into the parking lot and getting out of her car and Mary screeching, "Bets, it's so good to see you." Being greeted with a hug, some tears, a smile. It's good, Betty thought, to have friends like that that you can go to church with. As they walked into the church foyer, together that Sunday, Betty walked in and she saw a plaque on the wall. She thought, this wasn't here before. And it was a big plaque, and it was very prominent, and it was right in view when you walked in the door. It's 4 feet wide by about 3 feet tall. And there's a couple verses and an instruction on the plaque. But it was kind of different, Betty thought. It wasn't a psalm. It wasn't a verse about how good God was. It was James 4:11, and it just said at the top, it said, do not speak evil about one another. Then underneath that, there's an instruction on it, and the instruction was, in this church, we do not speak evil about one another. Beneath that, one more verse, Matthew 18:15, and she thought, wow, this is pretty heavy. And it was, if your brother has sinned against you, go to him. And that's all that was on the plaque, and it was right there for everybody to see. She thought, that's kind of weird. Mary, what? This wasn't here last time I came to visit. Mary kind of was a bit sheepish and smiled a bit. She goes, yeah, that's from a time that, well, we're almost saying it affectionately by now. We've called it the COVID crucifixion crisis of 2020. But he goes, well, I understand COVID and crisis, but like, did you put it up at Easter, Good Friday? Why the crucifixion? No, Mary said, it's the crucifixion was kind of what we did to one another during COVID, and there is a lot of talking behind backs, and it really wasn't very pretty. And so that's why we refer to it as that. So, well, it wasn't here when I came last time. She was, no, and we put it up after that, or it was put up after that. And so did the pastor do it? Did the board? Who made this decision to put up the plaque? And Mary said, we don't know. It was here. We've asked around. We trust people. Nobody admits to it. It was just here. Some of us have begun to ponder and wonder if it was just the Holy Spirit that put it up for us because we needed to hear it so badly. And Betty noticed Mary pause and she thought, I must have a puzzled look on my face. And Mary continued, but mostly we just have come to the conclusion that someone who knew our church was led by the Spirit and put it up for us. So as Mary pulled into the parking lot, this was on her mind. On her mind was the fact that only a year ago in their small church, she had been approached about joining the leadership team. Wow, Betty thought. The leadership team, someone recognizes my value, my ideas, my input. They want me there. They want me to help grow this church and change this church. It was about 3 months later that Betty realized she may well have been the only person willing to do the job. She wanted to see change. She wanted to be part of the change. But change in a small church, she was learning, happened slow. Her husband has sometimes referred to her as, somewhat affectionately, as a bit of a bull in a china shop. She has some opinions, Betty would have to admit. And they can get out of hand sometimes. But this is all going in her mind. And she gets out of the car. Husband and the kids get out of the car. She pauses and she brings up that picture that she'd taken of the plaque and looks at it again before she goes in. Pauses and heads into the church. And as they head into the church as a family, her husband and herself, her husband Leo and their kids, Jake and Elsa, and head into the church, and they're greeted by an elderly widower gentleman, Alfred. His friends call him Elf, or if they dare, call him Elfie. And they're greeted by Elfie. And he's gone through some hurts, Elfie, but he's a bit of a joker. Betty, good to see you this morning. How's Veronica? Betty thought, again, the Veronica joke? Maybe I'll roll with it this time. Well, Veronica and Archie decided to skip church this morning and went to the beach. Without missing a beat, Elf responded, well, hopefully Reggie leaves them alone then. And they entered into church, and they're going up the stairs. And so Betty and Leo, after being greeted, they sit down in their bench, and they sit down behind Susie. Susie, a young mom with a young son, single mom, began coming to the church, and they sit down behind her, and her son William is making a bit of a fuss, a bit of a ruckus. He's at that age, you know, where they're just have started walking, they get around a lot and can talk, but really you can't give them much instruction about what to do yet. She said, what a beautiful thing it is to have children in church and the sound of children. And William would peek over the seats and under the seats. And Betty never minded having children in church. She loved the din, loved the noises of it. Unless it was hers, and hers got a talking to on the way home, she had to admit. As they sat and the service went on and they stood to sing, had a scripture reading, and they prayed together as a church, shared with each other their lives. That's one of the things she loved about the small church, the small town church, the feel of knowing what was going on in people's lives and sharing that and lifting that up before the Lord. And then Pastor Jake got up. Pastor Jake, she thought, preaches the word. They'd been there 2 or 3 years, Pastor Jake and Rita, a couple of teenage boys that they had, and a bit of an unexpected blessing that they had, a 2-year-old daughter. It was much younger. And Pastor Jake got up to preach, and he shared the word, and Betty thought, this is good. This is what I need to hear. She still had in her mind and her picture on her phone of that plaque. She thought, this is what I need to hear as Pastor Jake preached about loving your neighbor and especially doing good to those in the kingdom of God. After the service, she thought, I need to talk to him. I need to talk to Pastor Jake and tell him what I've been learning and what God's been doing in my life through this and through what he said. So Betty goes up. And she goes up, she says, Pastor, that was really good, thank you. And then she noticed something was off, something was wrong. Her and Leo had gotten to know Jake and Rita through the years. They'd eaten together, occasionally prayed together, and she knew the tough stuff that pastors can go through sometimes. I said, Pastor, what's wrong? Well, it's Alfred. And as Betty was listening to this, Alfred began to go on and on about, or Jake began to go on and on about Alfred and the things that he had said before the service, and how irritated he was. And Betty felt her heart kind of drop. This is discouraging. And she was sad. And then she was angry. Someone had hurt her friend. But as she listened, she also heard a still small voice speak to her. She paused. She said, "Pastor, can I show you a picture of a plaque I saw?" Anyway, that's how it ends. I don't know. I had kind of fun coming up with it. Had fun. I appreciate being allowed to practice something like that here. One of the things the fellow had said yesterday was, "We don't do that in our church." It was a phrase that came up one place and talked about changing the culture. And sometimes we need to say to another, "We don't do that in our church." And sometimes we need to say that wherever we go. That's just not something we do in our church. Did you have a song, Judith? Let's close this in prayer. Father, thank you for this church. We are blessed here. And thank you for the opportunity to tell a story. We are often blessed by the stories that we hear about how you've worked in our lives. We're often blessed by the stories that we hear and how other people have impacted a friend, impacted a neighbor, how you weave things together in our lives for our good, for our growth. Father, as I had leadership conference yesterday, pray, Father, you give us the courage at times to say, "We don't do that here. We don't do that in our church." Or to say, "Here's what we're going to do. Here's how we're going to do it." Because we love you, Lord, and we want to bow to you. Teach us and lead us, Father. Amen.